John 8 and verse 31 and 32, it gives us a process, because there are many things which we might have said today which say, I would like this to happen, or I would like that to happen, or it would be good if this happened, or I'm going to try and do this. But actually, what is required to achieve anything that we've talked about is some beginning, is some process. And God is not short of process. He is not what someone who is not, who is, you know, there are times when we can say, well, you know, is it just about getting the right meeting at the right time with the right preacher and the right music? And some of that is true. But more often there is a method and a process to what God wants us to go through. Have you got that scripture? Can we put it up there? John 8, 31 and 32? Ah, there it is. To the Jews, Jesus said, if you hold to my teachings, you're really my disciples, then you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. Quite often, the second part is quoted. You will know the truth and the truth will set you free. But this, laid out by Jesus, is a process of what we've said today. It's a process of intimacy. It's a process of transformation. It's a process of the end result is being set free. But what is the process of being set free? You start with, if you hold to my teachings, or in some language, in some descriptions, it says, remain in my word. Now, the reason that they do those both things is because my word means the things and the principles that can be put into practical application. So that's why some Bibles put it as teachings. But it also means to maintain an unbroken fellowship with God. If you read back through what that chapter was all about, the beginning bit is the lady who's caught in adultery, and she's brought before Jesus, and Jesus says, I'm not going to condemn her, and no one here, neither do I condemn you. You know, woman, who are they? Can anyone here condemn you? And then he says, neither will I condemn you. Then the Pharisees say, who are you to bear witness to this? And he says, the law says that it needs two people to agree with each other and have the same statements for it to be true. And he said, what you're seeing here is me and my Father, and we are completely unified. And therefore, if I speak, I'm speaking on behalf of two. In which case, this lady goes free. So he said before that, me and my Father are one. Then he goes on to talk about the light and the darkness and so on and so forth. But it's all about him and his Father, him and his Father, a connection with his Father. And so when we come to this, if you hold to my teachings, it's less about random things that we pick out of the Bible and more. If you hold on to an unbroken fellowship with God, you are really his disciples. And being a disciple means taking that unbroken, it's great what you said, Martin. The difference between that and just anything else is that that was a word from God to you through intimacy to your family. So in connection with God, he speaks something onto your life, which has practical life applications. We're talking about these things changing what we do. And it can be about anything. Ultimately, if it is trying to get three sizes smaller, then the first thing to say is, God, why is it that I can't do this? Last week we said, put no confidence in the flesh, but hold on to God. Why is it I can't do this? Let him be the first place we go to find any solution. What is it that I need to know here? Just like Pete was saying, God, give practical solutions. You prove that you're his disciple by saying, you know what? I don't know the answer, but God does. Therefore, I'm going to remain connected to him, maintaining an unbroken fellowship. Then you will know the truth, genuine, valid, verifiable by demonstration. It's not just theoretical knowledge. It's not just, I will know what the Bible says. It is, I will know what the solution is for this particular issue, and I will know how to do it, when to do it, what to do. And it's not then, even then, that's not the system. The system is still a connection with God. And the truth will set you free, will liberate you to live out your true destiny in Jesus. But that cycle repeated is the process of freedom. We talk about being on a journey with friends to freedom, but it has a process. And the first thing is an intimate connection with God. You've got to be able to, you've got to know that he loves you. I mean, thank you this morning for allowing me to have fun on the drums. It's good. If you want short preaching, put me on the drums. Because I love to worship God. And ultimately, that's what it should all be about. But going back to the Father and saying, okay, I'm gonna revel in this connection with you. And then as you do that, he will say, well, why don't we deal with this area of your life? Why don't we achieve this together? And it's not always correction. It's not always we need to stop doing this and start doing that. God has a destiny for each one of our lives. And the reason that we're often not fulfilling it is because we haven't consulted him on how to do it. We may have got the first word and we're going our hardest about how it's going to work. But that's never the way it goes. We follow him. We hold on to him. We prove that we're his disciple. Then we know the truth, and the truth will set me free. At the bottom of the new sheet, I've put, God wants not just informed Christians, but transformed Christians. This is not a process of, I know a lot of Bible knowledge. Otherwise, theologians would be the freest people we know. People who've studied the Bible backwards and forwards and can quote it would be liberated beyond measure. But often they're not. They often use the very truths that they should be applying to their lives to condemn and justify and judge others and drag them down. Well, that's not the truth setting you free. That is something different. So this is the divine process that we're about. You know, John 15 says, if you remain, 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 if you remain. There's four more. If you remain. It says it 10 times, if you remain. And later on in 2 John, in the letters of John, it says, if you wander away from a relationship, if you wander away from a relationship, you'll never know and understand the Father and the Son. You'll never have the Father and the Son. So first of all, as we set out for all of these various things that we want to do, the first port of call is a connection with him, holding on to him, holding on to God, the very word of God. That's how it's going to work. But it's a process, because as you do that process, it starts to change you. It starts to reform you. It starts to recreate you. It changes your thinking patterns. It changes the way you do things. I'm just going to ask Tanya to share a practical application, which I almost forgot about.
Okay, being anxious for nothing. So 2016, the beginning of the year, I felt God say to me that he wanted to go on a journey with me about being anxious for nothing. And if you had said to me, you're a fearful person, Tanya, I would have said, no, not particularly, doesn't particularly bother me. But fear and anxiety are two very different things. And the more I started to look at my life through his eyes, the more I started to see that there were loads and loads and loads of anxieties. Fear for me, very visually, is written in big pen. Anxiety is written in 2B pencil. Very light, very faint, but they're all there. And so I was like, okay, I don't want to be anxious. And the more we walked along, the more I saw how many there were. And it's little things. It can be, you can be sitting here right now and going, she's talking and I need to do my coffee and I need to get home because I've got something I need to get out. That is an anxiety that you don't need to have. And there can be big things and little things. And so all last year, the thing that God has been teaching me is that cycling process, because he is my peace, he's my security. And when I am anxious, I am not in a place of peace or security, and I require those things to live a happy and contented life full of freedom, which is what he promises me. So I have. So if this is my father and I'm grabbing his hand, there are days that I'm like this, moment by moment, because there are so many things popping into my head, so many things facing me, so many things out there, you know, family, friends, work, the cat, the dog, everything. And I have learned over the year and will continue this walk, because it's a life one, this one. And the thing is that the circumstances are never going to change. They're always going to be there. Those things are always going to bring anxiety into your life. I'm going to change. I have changed and will continue to change how I face those things. So they don't overwhelm me. I don't get to the end of the day feeling completely swamped by these things. Anxiety by anxiety, I connect and go, I just want to give that to you, God. I don't even know if it's important right now, you know, if it's something I should be worried about, but I'm just going to give it to you, and I just ask you, Holy Spirit, to fill me with your peace and to make me feel secure right now that you've got that thing, you've got it taken care of, and I don't have to worry about it. I don't have to think about it, because that's where anxiety rests. You think, and then it hits your heart and you feel overwhelmed by it. And I am freer now than I was a year ago. Because if he says, so for me, when he says be anxious for nothing, that must mean it must be possible. It must be possible to be anxious for nothing. So, but again, I say it's because of me and my relationship with the intimate God, connecting with him, realizing that's an anxiety straight to my father and where I should be, and there I'm in that place of safety and security and peace, and because the circumstances aren't going to change. Most of what you guys are facing, some things will, but most of them are not going to change, but you can with him.
Excellent. Thank you. After that passage, you know, first of all, you've got to recognize you're not free. Some people, when Jesus said this, the Pharisees said, we're free. How dare you tell us we're not free? Because they missed the point. And then he said in verse 36, if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. We are not designed to live without that connection with God. And the moment we disconnect, we malfunction. Now, some of us have spent so much of our life disconnected that we've no idea even that connection exists, but we've also no idea what resources come with that connection. And so everything that you've spoken about today, a desire of your heart, God has placed in there, but he's also said, come with me and let's figure this out together. Because through that process, Tanya's been able to describe something that she can help someone else with. Not just, well, I prayed one day and it went and I'm never anxious again. Okay, that's of some help. But God uses often the circumstances to train us to remain connected and to remain knowing that it's Christ in us, the hope of glory, that it's no confidence in what we can do, but every confidence in what he can do. Amen? Let's pray and, Father, I thank you that you have so much more, so much more. The heavens are groaning, longing for the sons of man to take their place, for this church, for this body of yours to be empowered by you to do exploits and do amazing things, and for each one of us to live that connected life that transforms us into a unique expression of the kingdom. Doing something that we were designed to do and only we can do, but part of a body where each one of us playing our part transforms this into something amazing. And Lord, I just thank you for desires of our hearts that we've spoken out to one another. Help us pray for each other. Bring people back into our minds, the things that they've said. And Father, I thank you that if our God is for us, then who can be against us? With my God, I can climb a wall. I can bend a bow of bronze. With Christ in me, there's nothing that can't be achieved, and there's nothing that can't be transformed, and there's nothing that is dead that can't be brought back to life. The same Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead brings life. And that connection, Father, with you, I pray for some of us here, it's going to bring transformation in physical, recreating power of heaven into our lives as we remain connected. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.